Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining again. And today we are going to talk about Siyula Choshtima, Sviyat Medarche Shalom, assisting potentially sinful behavior in order to maintain or promote ways of peace. I see Zev is here. Zev, do you have the source sheet? Hopefully you're good. So let's do a brief review of what we did last time, and we'll pick it up from there. In source number one, we had the Mishnah in Gittin. Without going through it inside, the Mishnah in Gittin had two clauses in the beginning. Clause one dealt with a chashuda al hashviyeh, a woman who is suspected of not appropriately keeping the laws of Shemitah. And there the Mishnah said you can lend her utensils, which she can use for baking, but you cannot participate in the baking process, right? So that was the first clause of the Mishnah. The second clause in the Mishnah said that you can, regarding an Am Haaretz, a woman who is not well-educated, you can not only lend her utensils that she can use for baking, but you can even participate with her in the baking process. And the Mishnah says all of this is because of Darkei Shalom, in order to promote ways of peace. That's why you can lend, and that's why you can participate in the second clause with the Eshet Am Haaretz. What is the difference between clause one and clause two? There, to make a long story short, the Gemara essentially says that the difference is whether or not the potential Isser of Averet Zik is a Deoraisa or a Derabanan. In the ratio, in the first clause of the Mishnah, what we're worried about is the woman is going to violate Shemitah, either by violating not doing bior or eating la'ach or a bior, etc. That is an Isser D'oraisa, and Darkei Shalom is not going to be enough to allow you to participate in a potential D'oraisa. Whereas in the second clause in the Mishnah to D'rabbanan, whether D'rabbanan is because it's Meister and we assume that she did separate Shemos and Meisros, or the D'rabbanan is Tumah and Tahara generally, that's a D'rabbanan. And for Darkei Shalom will allow you to participate in a derabanan as long as it's not a deoraisa. So that's in terms of the potential avera at stake that she may violate with your assistance. There is another question that's worth asking, which is, what is the nature of your assistance itself? Meaning, as we've learned, Rav Shneur gave a number of wonderful shiurim, there's more than this, but there are essentially primarily two different forms of isurim involved in assisting sinful behavior. The primary isur is lifnei iver lo titein mechshol, right? Not putting a stumbling block in front of the blind. So that is one, when a person participates in or allows in, or enables someone else to violate an isur with their assistance. In some cases, that's lifnei iver lo titein mechshol. However, we also learned that there are cases where lifnei iver doesn't apply. Namely, maybe the most common one is where they could have done the avera without your assistance anyway. What we call chad ivra denahara. Lifnei iver is only on shrei ivra denahara, two sides of the river, when you are enabling or making their sin possible. If they could have done it without you and you're merely helping them, that's not lifnei iver. That's what we call misayeya yidei ovrei avera. It's derabanan on a simple level. A derabanan version of lifnei iver, you shouldn't assist them even if they could have potentially done the avera otherwise. The question is, in this mishnah in which you are assisting the eshet al ma'aretz and the chashud al hashviyeh with their violations, is lifnei iver deoraisa at stake, or are what you potentially going to violate is the derabanan of misayeya yedei ovrei avera? Do you have the source sheet over here? Morning.
You should just call me if you need me.
What's up? Okay. That's the question. Is lifnei iver etzik in this Mishnah? On a simple level, probably yes. Right? When is lifnei iver not at stake? Lifnei iver is at stake in a situation in which you are... there is no accessibility to the vera that your participation. In this case, there's no indication necessarily that there is another person allowing, lending out the utensils without you. So on a simple level, this might be like an Iver. And Micha Shlomo deals with this in source number 2. It says the Micha Shlomo Yesh Ayin. Yimada Tir Hacha Mishom Darche Shalom Hanu Dafka Ba'ofen Shigam Lot Hashem Ishara Chaver Tim Shal Lichshal Akli. Here in the Mishnah where we allow lending the utensils to the people who may violate Isurim, is that only in a case in which they could have obtained those utensils otherwise? The Uz, Lo Havi Isra Lithna Iver Mamish Rak Isra Misayeh Midir Abanan. In such a case, it wouldn't be the Dioraisa of Lithna Iver, but rather the Dior Abanan of Misayeh, Kamo Shabir Acharonim. Oh, the Mutter Gamba Ofen Shalo Tinsalishal, the Havi Katre Ivra Dinahara Shahu Lithna Iver Gamor. Or are we even talking about a case in which what you may be violating is Lithna Iver Dioraisa? And it's a case where they could not have obtained the utensil unless you gave it to them. And says Micha Shlomo, it seems that it's both. Umipasha de Masnisim Masha de Cholo Venchari. But it sounds like even if they could have, they cannot have obtained the utensil otherwise, you can still lend it. It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah that this is only in a case in which they could have obtained the utensil otherwise. So it sounds like Livne Iver is at stake. And that is quite surprising to Rishon Lezalman. And therefore he says, if it's Arach Lomar, the Rakba open zesh she'ino moseres lachashuda as guf ha'iser k'mo yayin l'nozer, rak no senes la evsharas la vor iser. She'mashilta ha'kelim, lo chashis feka deresa, then the iver. What's the difference here? It's true, it could be that she cannot have obtained the utensil without your assistance. However, giving somebody utensil suggests for some resolvement isn't lifnei iver deresa. Why? Lifnei iver is you take the wine, you give it to the Nazir. If the Nazir drinks that wine which you gave them, that is a deraita, that's an avera. You gave them the chetza de avera. Here, what are you doing? As we discussed last week, you're giving them a utensil, something they can use to select or to filter or something like that. There's no problem with filtering Shemitah food or grinding Shemitah food. The problem is if they eat the Shemitah food or they guard it, or they're over Bior, but you're just helping them along the way. Suggest for Shlomo Zalman, that is not Lifnei Iver Dioraisa. So I bring this for two reasons. One, we'll have to investigate whether or not it's true that it's less problematic when you're not actually giving them the Chetza di Yisura, but rather simply helping them get there. And number two, as we'll see, it's not necessarily true that everybody agrees that Mimne Darkei Shalom, you can't to Lifnei Iver Dioraisa, as it could be, and this would be a huge leniency. It could be that even for Lifnei Iver Dioraisa, it will be allowed in cases of Darkei Shalom. Okay. However, last year we dealt with a big question, right? Big question, which was, why do we need Darkei Shalom at all? Why even mention Darkei Shalom? We learned with Rabbi Tarchiner, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that as long as there is a tzlia, meaning there is an argument to be made that you will not participate in avera at all. You're giving them something, they could use it for an iser, or they could use it for a completely legitimate purpose. In such a case, that is mutter. You don't need Darkei Shalom. It's not that it's only okay because, look, it's going to interrupt the peace if you don't, but rather it is fundamentally okay as long as you have a reason or a legitimate claim to make that they won't actually violate Nisr. In fact, just a few Mishnah earlier, the Mishnah says you can sell utensils which could potentially be used to violate Shemitah as long as they could potentially be used to not violate Shemitah, and that's even to a Chashad. So the question is, why is Darkei Shalom invoked in this Mishnah? And we don't simply say it's okay because they could potentially use it for an okay reason. Maybe they have perils which are not Shemitah. Maybe they're using it for after Shemitah, right? So why are we assuming then that you need Darkei Shalom? That was the question that we dealt with. And this is going to be a very important question. Why? Because the question is Darkei Shalom sufficient in and of itself? Can I potentially violate Misayeya / Ibn Iver? Simply because if I don't, it will interrupt the peace? Or does there need to be another factor involved to allow that? So here we began to see a few approaches to this. There are essentially three different approaches. And we began with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam insists that Darkei Shalom is sufficient in and of itself. You don't need anything else. All you need is Darkei Shalom, to the incentive to promote the peace, such that if you don't participate, it will cause machlokas or argument or enmity, and that is enough to potentially violate Litna Iver. However, why does the Gemara and the Mishnah and other places say that you need a Tliya? Why mention the other possibility that they won't violate the Isser at all if Darkei Shalom is sufficient? Well, Rabbeinu Tam says, I'll tell you why, and we saw this last time, because Mechira doesn't constitute Darkei Shalom. If you're selling things and you tell someone, look, I can't sell you this, that's not going to interrupt the peace. They'll understand you don't have to sell something that you don't want to sell. However, when it comes to She'ela and lending people out utensils between friends for a specific amount of time, it's not even permanent. It's just for like a few minutes. I want to use your kneader to knead my dough. If you say no, that's going to offend people. And that's why Darkei Shalom is mentioned. So essentially, Darkei Shalom is sufficient when it exists. In the case of Mechira, Rabbeinu Tam suggests that not selling something to someone for religious reasons just isn't a problem of Darkei Shalom. We'll get to that point in a minute, but we discussed last time how that's actually quite innovative, and it's quite a chiddush. Really, just for Darkei Shalom, you can violate Misayeya / Litna Iver. So here we brought the Chazon Ish, who said you're picking your poison. It's not that you're picking Shalom over Litna Iver. Rather, if you pick Litna Iver and you go against Shalom, that's also Litna Iver. Because when you offend someone and say, I am not going to lend you a utensil because you're not religious enough for me, and I think that you're going to violate an Aver for it, that's going to cause them to violate all sorts of Isurim. They're going to violate Lo Sisna. They're going to not like religious people, right? That's all sorts of Nikima, Natira, all sorts of very, very important Isurim as well. So you're picking your poison. Do you want them to violate not hating you? Or do you want them to violate, you know, Shemitah? So that's a tough call. So the Chazal said, this is important though, because we'll see that other Shitos take this and just run with it. So the Chaz Ishlo says, so how do we pick? Chazal said, Safik versus Vadai. If it's a Safik, you're not sure they'll violate the Isser, then you'll say, I'm going to rely on the Darkei Shalom. I'm going to take the Darkei Shalom path, and I'll be careful to not cause them to violate Lo Sisna, Sechecha, Bolavecha, etc. If you're sure, however, it's Vadai that if you give them the assistance, they're going to violate an Isser, then Chazal say, Darkei Shalom aside, you can't participate in this activity. But that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That we dealt with last time. Good? Clear? Amazing. Okay. The second Shita, which is the opposite, the more Chamra one, is that of the Ramban. And the Ramban, I think we began to read this last time, the Ramban looks at Rabbeinu Tam and says, no Eva, if you don't sell something to someone, that there's no greater Eva. You know, imagine that you had a business where you made wedding cakes for people, and then someone went up to your counter and you said, I am not going to sell you this wedding cake because you are not religious enough for me. That would certainly create Eva. If you're selling it to everybody else, but not to this one person because you're saying they're chashad, right? So that's the greatest Eva. So what are you talking about, Rabbeinu Tam? There's no Eva for selling. That's not the solution here. Rather, the case must be different. It's not about Darkei Shalom at all. It's all about Tliya, says the Ramban. If it's about Tliya, why mention Darkei Shalom? So here, we'll just take a look briefly in source number 5, where in the second to last line, near where I bolded, says the Ramban, Lo, kevan lo machia hana liyade hava mina lo lishol v'lo lekum v'safek isura v'nei Darkei Shalom u'disharu rabbanan. Says the Ramban as follows. What is at stake for you to lend out this utensil? What are you gaining from it? Nothing. Nothing. You're just lending it to them. Just altruistic reasons. You don't get anything in return. So in such a case, even if you have a tzliya, it's still not necessarily sufficient because you're right, you have a tzliya. Maybe they won't violate an isser, but why lend them at all? Just don't lend them. But in the case of mecher, if you're selling the item, so then you have a reason to get yourself into this mess. You're making a profit. You're running your business. So in the case where you're selling the item, so then Darkei Shalom isn't necessary because you have a reason to participate in this. You have an incentive. And we have a tliya. We have a reason to assume it won't actually violate the Isser. So that's sufficient. So bottom line for the Ramban is Darkei Shalom is an insufficient heter. It's not enough on its own. It's all about whether or not you can say maybe they won't violate the Avera. Darkei Shalom, though, isn't sufficient. You need Darkei Shalom because why even get yourself into this mess? Now, at first glance, it's still a bit problematic. Meaning, that's the factor, whether or not you benefit, whether or not you benefit from the transaction that allows you to get into this. So to sort of contextualize this, I wanted to bring the sheet to other Ritva. First, in source 6, we see the Ritva holds like the Ramban, right? Says the Ritva in source number 6, Miu, Atzrachina achat zetam nidarki shalom. We still need Darkei Shalom. Techem adisha'ilahu, velo lat lehana minei. Since you're just lending it out and you won't receive any benefit, we would have thought you shouldn't put yourself in a situation of a suffik isur for no reason, ilav tamadar chesholom. Meaning, if you're lending it and there isn't dar chesholom at stake, why get yourself into this mess? However, if we're talking about a case where you have kelim of an umma where it certainly will result in an iser, Darkei Shalom isn't sufficient, says the Ritva. Darkei Shalom isn't enough in and of itself. But why, what is the nature of the suffik isura? So I think based on the Ritva's sheet about Tliya, the point essentially is Tliya isn't a heter. It's not a great heter. It's not that we say we assume for sure that they're going to use it for a heter reason. It's a suffik. It's a suffik. We don't know, but will allow you to take a chance with tliya. That's essentially the and if you look at the Ritva in sources number 7 and 8, I think this becomes even more clear. Very briefly, in source number 7, the Ritva is bothered by the Gemara, right, their Tina reference a few weeks ago, which deals with comparing and contrasting Shabbos and Shvias in terms of lending out, renting out, or selling your utensils. And the Gemara has a line, maybe it's okay during Shvias to sell your animal to someone else because there's no specific prohibition to prevent your animal from working during Shemitah. But on Shabbos, through Shvias Behemto, you can't have your animal work on Shabbos. Ask the Ritva in source 7, who cares? Why do I care about whether or not your animal has an Isser? It's Lifnei Iver, says the Ritva. Tmili Milsa, my kumar adraba nahida hazim in other mitzvah shvises behemto, vishviesika surafarina, vahanu isurida Lifnei Iver, vahamashu isra shibagufo, tfemi isurida hakashem bagufo. Why are you allowing me to sell an animal during Shemitah to someone who's going to violate Shemitah with it, if I'm going to violate Lifnei Iver? That's a pretty important isser. Who cares? There's no Shvisas Behemto. It's Lifnei Iver, says the Ritva. Umistav Reli Tahachi Kamar. The Hasam came to Lekha El Lab Lifnei Iver. Ein Lab Lifnei Iver Elekishin. No So Lemisha Osebo Avera Vadai. I'll tell you why. Lifnei Iver is only if it's a vadai. It's only with the iver if the thing that you give to the other person will certainly result in an iser. But if it's a suffik, that's not with the iver. And then he adds on, v'rabbanon ashru afilu stamo hecha sheyesh reglayim ladavar locha sheyavar bo'azera avera v'aso stamo kipirusha. Says the Rabbanon came along and said, even though it's not the araisa, they're machner in any case in which there's reglayim ladavar. There's evidence, there's a reason to think that they will, even if you're not sure, they will commit an iser. So essentially the point is, d'oraisa, suffik is not either. D'rabbanan, the Rabbanan are machmir. He goes even further in source number 8. Take a look at source number 8 and the bold here. The context here is why the Mishnah allow or doesn't allow selling certain kelim when you could come up with a tliya. You know, maybe they need them for next year. Maybe they don't need them for Shvias. Says the Ritva in the bold, Vadai. L'olam kol hecha de'ikki lemisle, klomar, shekarov levadai, litlos lakula talinon. What do you need for Clea? Karov Levada. Almost certainty that they won't commit an Isser. Bafil Hecha de Adam Mitzuva, Bahul Hecha de Lekka Lemisle, Klomar, De Lekka Lemisle, Be'in Del Hebebe, Umdena de Muchach Lekula. You need an Umdena de Muchach that they won't commit the Isser. So the point is, the Ritva has a very high standard for Tzliya. The reason is, because essentially the Rabbanan didn't said, we're going to extend Litna Iver even to the case of Suffolk. It's upon you to prove they won't commit an Isser. Instead of the Raisa of, as long as you're Mesupak, it's not an Avera, you can't participate in potentially sinful behavior unless you're almost sure it won't result in a sin. So based on that context, I think we can understand, why are you getting yourself into this? It's not that we look at Clea and we say, this is great, you're good, there's not going to be an Avera. No, Clea is a huge suffix. In a case in which there's an Umdena de Mucha, we can be matir. But if you have no reason to get yourself into this, then why get yourself into it? To me, it reminds me of suffix Darabon Lakula, right? So we know suffix Darabon Lakula, but that doesn't mean that you should get yourself into situations in which you have to potentially violate a rabbinic isser and then say, oh, it's a suffix, I can do it. No. Try to avoid the suffix in a situation in which you're in a suffix, you can be makel. But don't get yourself into it. So essentially, again, the point is that for this other shita, which is the most mahmir of the three, Darkei Shalom is insufficient, not enough. Darkei Shalom is not going to help you all that much. Maybe it will allow you to get yourself into a situation so you can rely on a tzliya, but it's not enough in and of itself. It's all about whether or not you have a tzliya. But Darkei Shalom is insufficient. That's the second shita. I just brought you the Ritva of source number 9, mostly for later, but here, I'm not sure this is consistent with the Ritva in source number 8. Look at the bold here. The Ritva here is dealing with the Misayaya phenomenon, right? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah had said that if it's Chad, Ivra, and Nahara, it's not Lifnei either. However, many of the Rishonim say, even if they could have potentially done the Isser without your assistance, it's still Aser Midrabanan. And here, what is that? Says the Ritva in source number 9, so look at the bold. Avami kol makom itavale beferush leisura. If they explicitly ask you for your assistance in doing an Isser, they say, it's Shabbos, and they ask you to, you know, borrow your kneading bowl because they want to knead on Shabbos. He says, Nehi de mishum lifne'iver lo ilaka. It's not with the Iver if they could get, if they have their own kneading bowl, they could get someone else's kneading bowl. Achati isura b'milsa mishum misayaya. It's still misayaya. But when is it misayaya? When it's tavile b'feirush isura. That sounds like you need a pretty high standard for misayaya. It's not that it's going to be misayaya unless you're sure they won't do it. It's not misayaya unless they tell you that they're going to do it. I'm not sure necessarily how to reckon this with the source number 8, unless you distinguish between Trey of the Nahara and other, you know, reasons for the not being the Iver. But that's just, we'll get back to this but later. I just thought that it was an interesting point, given what he says in source number 8. Okay, moving on to the third Shita. We good? Any questions? So we have Shita number 1. We have Rabbi Yotam, Darkei Shalom. Good enough. You don't need anything else. Shita number 2, Darkei Shalom. Useless, essentially. Doesn't help you at all. You need a good Tzliya. Shita number 3 is a combination, and this ends up being the shita we actually pass from. Like, if you look in Tosfos in source number 10, he essentially quotes the Shem Shach Vataria, he quotes Rabbi Yotam, and then he adds Rabbi Yotam. I think this is important because many of the Acharonim who quote Rabbi Yotam assume this is Rabbi Yotam's shita, but it's not. He's very clear in Sefer Yashar, and has the Rabban quotes him. It's not a shita, but it's Tosfos adding to Rabbi Yotam. Take a look at source 10. Oh, Rabbi Yotam, the Hacha B'yadua She'em Elapir Shvias. We know. There's no tliya. All they have is shmita produce. Halakha, ilav mishum darkei shalom, havi aser. V'mechad lo shayav darkei shalom, aser, take the lekula mislei. Rabbi Yotam says, if you have darkei shalom, that's okay. If you don't have darkei shalom, you need a tliya. And first he quotes the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, as the other Yerushalmi actually quoted as well, says that in our Mishnah, which says, mitnei darkei shalom, there is a tliya. Right, all the things you're lending the oven, you're lending the kneading bowl, all those, maybe they're not going to use it for their normal purpose. Maybe they're going to use the sieve to sort of scatter money. Right, who knows? Maybe they don't want the sieve to actually bake with. right? Maybe they want the oven to put something in it, to insulate something. They're not baking the shvias. So it sounds like you do need tzliya. And he says, Bahidir Shami lo havya tzliya gemura kipara l'shlita d'im kain b'lo dakar shalom navi havi shari k'mo mocher. Essentially, he asks the question, if there's a tzliya in our Mishnah, if in our Mishnah you could suggest that maybe when you lend them the utensil, they're not going to use it for an iser, why the Mishnah mentioned Darkei Shalom? The answer is it's a bad tliya. Really deep down, you think they're probably going to violate an avera with this utensil. Most probably. But it's a possibility. Maybe they won't. Maybe they're going to use the kvara for an abnormal purpose, which doesn't constitute an avera. Maybe. Normally, that would not be enough. But because of Darkei Shalom, in order to keep the peace, we allow you to rely on that remote possibility that they won't commit an avera. I think you could fit this into the framework of the Ripa we just said. Again, maybe you could say, Liv Me'iver is only when you know they're committing an avera. They're a Bananar Machmir, and say even if it's a Suffolk. Mibne Darkei Shalom, they say, okay, even if it's just a little Suffolk, you can rely on the Tzliya. Okay, and that's indeed what most of the Mepharshim say. Look at the Me'iri in source number 11, just skipping to the boulder for time's sake. He says, Ela shakol she'in sham eva, ein tolin ela bedvarim hametsuyim. Essentially, there are two standards. If there's no Darkei Shalom or eva at stake, you need a good tzliya. You need a compelling reason to think they won't violate the iser. If there is Darkei Shalom or eva at stake, then you can rely on not such a good tzliya. On a remote possibility, they won't commit the avera. And the look in source number 12, essentially the Rosh says, similarly, Mikol Makom, Tzar, Taima, Darkei Shalom, Lefisha, Ein, Zet, Tliyag, Mura, the Lispor, Ramos, the Lispor. Right? It's not a good tzliya. That's why you need Darkei Shalom. Now, before we go on to sort of some of the Nachmanides here, I wanted to look at the Tosfos Yom Tov, who also is in line with the Rosh, Tosfos, and Me'iri, but he adds something else. So take a look at the bold here. In the Tosfos on this Mishnah, he says, Ilav havel l'misnah klal lo haya dark tam darkei shalom kol kach lahatir. He says, number one, this is not the same as the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said darkei shalom is enough in and of itself. I'm saying it's not enough in and of itself. You need a tzliya. Even if it's not a great tzliya, you need a tzliya. Why? It's not enough lahatir l'sayeya yidei ovrei avera shehu bechlal lifne iver. It wouldn't allow misayeya, which is part of lifne iver. So first answer, you think, look at the Tosfos on. You say, maybe it's lav dafka. He means it's lifne iver derabanan. You know, lifne iver is the oraisa. Misayeya is derabanan lifne iver. And then you need a tliya for that. I don't think so. I think the Tosfos Yantav thinks the Mishnah allows lifnei iver de'oraisa if you have a little tliya and darkei shalom. Lifnei iver de'oraisa. Why? Take a look at source number 14 where the Tosfos Yantav quotes the Rambam. As Rabbi Tarchiner mentioned in previous shirim, the Rambam very frequently oscillates between emes misayeya and lifnei iver. He just throws the two together. Lifnei iver ve'e machazikin de'over avera. The Rambam thinks Misayeya is simply a version of Livne Iver for Averas. And that's what Tosfos Yom Tov says in source number 14. Lashon Rambam, or Akosov, Livne Iver, Lothi Mish, or Ratzlam, or Misha Sagre, Ena Vataiva, Vietzer Hara, Votazer, or Sov, Lahose, Be Evrono, Betos, or Harkigum Nayosher. It says in front of a blind person, but a blind person also means someone blinded by their Yetzer Hara. And he says, Mipne ze asor laazor ovre avera. Because of lifne iver, you can't help people do an avera. Seems to me that the Tosfos Yom Tov thinks in this Mishnah is simply the oraisa version of lifne iver helping people do averas, which would be a huge heter that you can from mipne darkei shalom with a tliya dechuka and darkei shalom, you can violate lifne iver de oraisa. Seems to me that's what Tosfos Yom Tov is saying. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa in this question? So here, first we'll look at the Rambam. And I want to look at the Rambam and tell me what the Rambam left out. First, see the Rambam in source number 15, where the Rambam paskins the second clause of the Mishnah. Eish es chavir merakedes v'res mish sam aretz. A wife of a religious woman essentially is allowed to sieve and select with a wife of an Am Haaretz, but once the water is added to the dough, she cannot help her because she's going to help her make the dough tameh. That's the Mishnah, right? That's the first, second clause of Mishnah. What about the first clause relating to Shvi'is? Says the Rambam in source number 16, take a look at the second line. The end of source 16. Mashelas ish the chaverta chashur ha-shvi'is nakva ukfar rechaim v'tanor avalo savor velo sechonima. Just quoting the Resha, you can lend the isha chashuda a nothing, far the sieve and all these different utensils, but don't participate with her. What words does the Rambam leave out from his codification of the Mishnah? Very important words we've been talking about all day.
Mipnei Darkei Shalom.
Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Absent from the Rambam. Just not there. They're just not there. So, who does the Rambam hold like? Pretty hard to say the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam thinks the whole Heter is Darkei Shalom. The Rambam just omits it. I would say it's even hard to say the Rambam holds like the third Shita, the Meiri and Tosfos and the Rosh Mishans. Because Darkei Shalom still plays a role. You should say, if it's a Kliya Dechuka, you need Darkei Shalom. It seems to me like the Rambam simply holds like the Ramban, like the Chol Misfarad. It's all about Tzliya. It's not about Darkei Shalom. And if you look, and this is where the Mefarsh Merdaik on, they Merdaik in the word Vechein. First, the Rambam quotes the previous Mishnah about selling a Parah Horeshes, because you can assume they want the Parah to slaughter it and eat it, its meat and not violate Shemitah. And then he says, V'chein ma'shalas ish l'chaverta. So maybe here also the Rambam is relying on a tzliya of some sort. Either way, the Rambam does not mention Darkei Shalom at all. Nevertheless, most postgame follow the Rosh. They follow the idea of the Rosh and Tosfos and the Meiri that you can rely on a tzliya. And Midnei Darkei Shalom, you can rely on a Tliya Dechuka, a Tliya that's not Matzoid, where you think it's only a remote possibility they won't violate the Isser. You look in Shabbat Aretz in source number 17 on this Rambam of Cook, essentially Paskins like Tosfos and Gidin, that you have Tliya Dechuka and Darkei Shalom, and he brings the argument about whether or not there is Darkei Shalom in a case of Mecher. Rabbeinu Tam thinks there's no Darkei Shalom in a case of Mecher. Rabban says there is Darkei Shalom in a case of Mecher. But essentially, that's the halacha. So, in a situation in which you have a good tliya, then you can just rely on a tliya. If you have a bad tliya that's not matzoi, it's likely they will do the avera, then you need to also have a case of darkei shalom. In a case of darkei shalom, where you think not participating with them will interrupt the peace, then you can rely on the tliya. And this relates to source number 18, which is the Magen Avraham. Obviously a very prominent posig, and the Magen Avraham extends this to Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, source number 18, in Siman Shin Mem Zayin, Seif Dalet, Asher L'Hashter Adam Klei Melacha, it is forbidden to lend someone utensils in Muchashad Lasos Melacha B'Shabbos, if they are suspect of doing Melacha on Shabbos, in Lo Sheyit Lish Leishlit Lo Sheyas Ba Melachas Heter, unless you can assume they're going to use the utensils to do something which is permissible, bedafka bedavar hamatzoy. And only if it's something that is frequent, which most assume means that the heter usage is a frequent usage of the item. Ava bedavar she'eno matzoy, asher imlo mipnei darkei shalom. If the potential heter usage is not matzoy, it's forbidden unless it's a case of Darkei Shalom. So the Magen Avraham essentially passes like Tosfos. I happen to have a bit of a sug on this Magen Avraham based on our Gemara, right? Because what did the Gemara say? When are you allowed to rely on Darkei Shalom in order to do Misayaya slash in the Iver? When what type of Veras is at stake? Sound like from the Gemara, Adirabanan. The Dioraisa, you weren't allowed to participate. Oh, you know what? That's actually not a problem. You can lend the Kli anyway. Not sure. You can lend the Kli anyway. Okay, that's fine. I take back what I said. Okay, so this leads us to two, but it will be a problem for the next tshuva. Okay, so I still have my hasaga. Anyway, this leads us to two tshuvas I wanted to discuss, which essentially deal with this question of Misayaya Darkei Shalom. The The first is the Imre Yosher in source number 19, which deals with the question of selling potentially or likely clothing which likely has shatnez. Right? So the case, you don't have the tshuva there. The case is someone is selling some sort of bohemian fabric, which often contains shatnez. And the question is, what are they allowed to do in this situation? So first, the Imre Yosher, Meir Eisenstadt, says that you have to notify people that it's shatnez, right? You should put up a sign saying that this fabric likely contains shatnez, please get it checked. Because even if you're going to argue that for some reason there's no either, chanama denara, they can get the clothing otherwise, you still can't cause people to inadvertently violate an iser, right? So you have to put up a sign which says that this fabric contains shatnez. But what about for someone who doesn't keep shatnez? What about for a chashid? So here, the Imre Yosher says as follows in source number 19. Says two things. If you're selling it to a chashid, number one. Number two, there isn't a Gentile in the city who is selling the same fabric, meaning according to the Imre Yosher, he thinks that it's not sufficient that they could buy the same item elsewhere from a Jew. That would still be considered trey of denara. If the only way they can get it is if another Jew violates the neiver, that's not enough. You need the possibility that they could get it from a non-Jew who wouldn't violate the neiver. So if you have a situation where it's lichne iver and a chashid, harayesh bazem mishal lichne iver deor raisa, that's a problem. Ooh, v'de'ikr mokhar nachri be'ir, kvar kasatav al-tzad hetra pidan sarifa, b'yanacher, which we'll get to, v'yishle hosif od, kevan di'israel zeh ha-mokhar yesho chanosim kor l'kol, u'kishal lo yimkhar l'chashid, yesh bazem mishal eva, Avshar de Mishum Eva, Hitiru Isser de Rabbanon de Messiah. He says, number one, he quotes a Ritva. Now, the way he quotes a Ritva, I find to be incorrect. He quotes a Ritva to say that Messiah is only Beshas Avera. It's another Shita. I just didn't think it's Ritva. Messiah is only when you are helping them do an Avera at the moment they do it. But to sell them an item before they do the Avera, if it's not the either, it won't be missing yet either. So that's one hetter. The other one, though, is our Mishnah, Darchei Shalom. It's Misayeya. And what's going to happen if you say to everybody else, you're out there at your counter and you say, you want this? Sure. Then the chasha comes to your counter. Can I buy this? No, I'm sorry. Can't sell it to you. Why not? Well, I don't know if you keep shatnez. That's going to cause Eva. That's not going to go over well at all. And maybe we can be Matam and Darkei Shalom. And he relies on number one, Rabbeinu Tam. Number two, he relies on the Ramban that there is Eva in the case of Mechira, which I think is pretty clear. But he sees this as a big chiddush from the Ramban. Groundbreaking chiddush, there's Eva and you won't sell it to somebody and you'll sell it to everybody else. Okay. Anyways, Pien continues. And he says, he thinks that this should only be, look at the next paragraph, in the case where it's not with the Iva Dioraisa. If it's not in the Iva Dioraisa, then I can see relying on Darkei Shalom. But if there's no one else selling this fabric, how can you be Mater Litne Iver simply because of Darkei Shalom? Can't be. You shouldn't be allowed to. And because of this, he's shocked by Rabbeinu Tam. He says, I don't get Rabbeinu Tam. How can Rabbeinu Tam, without any Tzliya, allow lifnei iver dioraisa? That's crazy. So first he suggests that the Rabbeinu Tam maybe would have to say all the Mishnayot and Shviyas which allow assisting someone in potential Shvita violations are all chad ivra denahara. You have to make a new kimta, and they're all talking about cases in which they could have gotten the utensils or the cow elsewhere. Otherwise, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't like that so much, however. He says, I don't know, Amnam. She just shara posting the simas and mishnayos to shvius mucha. The gam be'emo etzal milin lo selina lahokel. Gam per achreshes. Ah neged arov. Al karchot de la dit me'iver kil bezeh mishar isurin. He says, what about all the other opinions? So for Rabbeinu Tam, there's not even a tliya. But it sounds like for the other mefarshim, a tliya is enough. A tliya is enough for lit me'iver? I guess so. That's what he says. Maybe we're particularly makel by lifnei iver. However, in conclusion, he says, I don't want to rely on that. If you're dealing with a dioraisa in which it's treyer v'denara, don't rely on, you know, a very, very unlikely tlia. So essentially, the conclusion is similar to what we've seen. If it's not litnei iver, meaning it's not shrei iver denahara, the person could have gotten access to this violation otherwise, then you can rely on darkei shalom and the fact, he says, that it's not b'shas avera, that you're selling them something before they actually commit an avera with that object. Okay, so that is the Imre Yosher. Moving on to the next two was Rasa Gestetner. We'll go through it quickly. Rasa Gestetner talks about the problem of lending out a mikvah to non-Orthodox denominations. It's a very long tshuva. It's a very, charged tshuva. But what he uses our sugya as a reason for chumrah. So number one, he argues, you could say, well, maybe mitnei darkei shalom, you can be misayeya bidei ovei avera and lend out the mikvah. But he says, no. That's not going to be enough because we know that darkei shalom, as we paskin, isn't sufficient. You need a heter, a tzliya. You need an argument to say they won't actually violate an isser. And he says, when you lend out the mikvah to non-Orthodox denominations, they're going to use the mikvah, and that's an isser because it's not actually a good conversion, but they're going to think it's a good conversion. There's no kabbalah on mitzvot. And if there is a kabbalah on mitzvot, they're not actually going to keep halacha. So the whole thing is an avira. So it's no tzliya. Darkei shalom isn't sufficient in and of itself to lend out the mikvah. What if you tell me, says Rasa Gestetner, that, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm lending out a mikvah. There's no isser with lending out a mikvah. That's perfectly okay to go to the mikvah. Anyone can go to the mikvah. The problems come later on. Says Rasa Gestetner, it's wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't matter that at the time they go into the mikvah, no avera is being performed. Why? How do you know? From our Mishnah. That's how you know, because when you lend out the utensils, or even when you do borer, or you grind or bake with the person, that's not an avera. The avera is eating la'achar habior, or not keeping bior. The time of baking and kneading is not an avera, and yet the Mishnah still says it is a problem unless you have darkei shalom and tzliya. So it doesn't need to be that your participation takes place at the time they actually commit the avera. Even if it's well before in the process, as long as you're contributing to the process of the avera, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? So the truth is, you could have potentially been docha. If you take a look at source number 21, where I have Viksav Sofer. Viksav Sofer is the author of the opinion that we don't have to worry about Mitzayeya, it's not Bishas HaLeir. And he suggests that there's a difference between Siyua Sheyesh Bo Mamish and Siyua She'ein Bo Mamish. Meaning, in a situation in which you're really not helping too much at all, they could access the Avera otherwise. So then, as long as it's not b'shas, you're in a restaurant and you're with non-observant Jews with you, and somebody asks for something that you're not really allowed to give them, they could have gotten it otherwise, and you're simply giving it to them. That's not a siyuish yeshva mamish. So it's only going to be a problem if you give it to them b'shas havera. Masha Inkin says the ksav sofer, if what you're doing is you're lending them a utensil, which physically and demonstrably enables them to do the avera. Because of them, now they were able to knead the dough. You can see the impact of your contribution. So that is more chamor, and that even takes place shelo b'shas ma'aseh. Also, we had the Ritva who said there's a unique chumra by eating, right? The Ritva said that specifically regard to eating. We saw last week, there's a more extensive violation of Mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Horos Nassim says in source number 20 that why is it a problem even to lo b'shas avira? Because of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, Misayeya is al tashes yadcha im rasha. You shall not give your support to a wicked person. Even if it's not b'shas avira, even if you're going to do the avira later, you're still supporting them in the process of violating an avira. And therefore, Nassim Geshener says, based on our Mishnah, that if you don't have the Darkei Shalom and the appropriate Tzliya, you cannot participate in an Isser, even if the Isser is going to happen way later. That being said, there are many hits here, of course, to lower Bishas Maisa. That's what many Achronim do hold of, but that's another important ramification of this. Before we move on from the Iver, I wanted to briefly, because I know we're running out of time, explore one Nafkamina, which I think is a direct expression of this. So again, that is the question of giving somebody something to someone who will not make a bracha, right? So this comes up all the time. You're having someone in your house who's a guest, and you're not really sure they're like holding by brachos, and you want to feed them something. So what do? Now, if you think about it, this could be a potentially perfect Nafkamina, right? What are you doing? Potentially misayer let me even if they could get it otherwise, right? If you're misayer, what are they going to violate? A derabanan. It's a derabanan of not making a bracha. That's a derabanan. And there's clearly darkly shalom. You're having someone in your house to tell them I can't give you any food, or to tell them they have to make a bracha first, could clearly cause issues of darkly shalom. It's patronizing it. It's not going to be comfortable. So is such a thing permissible or not? Now this is a extensive discussion in the Acharonim and the Poskei Shulchan Aruch. However, I was very surprised that barely anyone references our Mishnah. They all reference other concerns. They don't quote the Mishnah in Shvius. Take a look at Torah 22, which I actually copied wrong. So maybe I'll just read it for you outside. The Torah Shulchan Aruch and Torah 22 is discussing the laws of feeding your waiter, which is a really important thing. He says, ideally, Mias Chassidus is that if you have a waiter at your meal, you should give them some of every single course so they can enjoy it also. But he says in the end there, I didn't copy it for you appropriately, you can't give the waiter a piece of bread unless you're sure they washed the Tilas Yadahim beforehand. Based on this, we have in source number 23, the Beis Yosef quotes Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Take a look at the second line in source number 23. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you can't feed someone unless you know that they are going to make a bracha. That's what he says. Some say that based on this notion of not giving bread to the waiter unless you know they've done netilas yadayim. However, he's matir v'nira shechivon shemischavein lasos mitzvah shenosein b'toras tzedakah. Since your intention is to do the mitzvah of tzedakah when you give them the bread or the food to this person, mutter. It's mutter. It's mutter if you're doing it for reasons of tzedakah. Not darkei shalom, but a mitzvah of tzedakah. V'ein nivar nerim, says the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef disagrees. So halitim l'sham is not a mitzvah. Giving something to a shamish is also a mitzvah. And yet we say you can't give the bread to the shamish, to the waiter, unless you know they wash their hands. However, that's the Beis Yosef on the Torah Orachaim. The Bach in Torah 24 agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah and says, no, it is mutter to give it to a person for tzedakah. And he gives different reasons for this. Take a look where it says, Ritzono Lomar, in the second line of the Bach. If you know that the person's not going to make a bracha or they didn't wash, that's a problem. But if you don't know that they're going to make a bracha, and you're at the time you're giving it to them, in overklum, that's not, you're not over anything. Adraba, mekayim mitzvahs tzedakah. When I give the piece of bread or the food, that's a mitzvah. I don't know whether they're going to make a bracha or not, so that's okay. If they don't end up making a bracha, it's okay, because when I gave it to them, that wasn't with me either, because I didn't know, and I was mekayem mitzvah staka. So that's point one. Then it goes further. He says, you shouldn't, even if you know he won't make a bracha, that's not enough to override tzedakah. Tzedakah overrides the potential isser in giving something to someone who will not make a bracha on it. Paskins Debach. If you look in source number 25, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. You have the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef himself says, don't give anything to anyone unless they're going to make a bracha. And the Ramah says, Some are Mako for the case of Sukkah, in quotes, Rabbeinu Yonah. Why? What is the justification for Rabbeinu Yonah aside from the Bach? So the Magen Avraham says that it's because Netilas Yadayim is worse, he says, than making a bracha. Netilas Yadayim is the Isser is right away. But giving somebody, because either they washed, they didn't. You're giving them food, they didn't wash, and that's a problem. But giving somebody tzedakah is less of a problem. Ever, he says, that if you know they won't make a bracha, I don't think you should give it to them. Similarly, the Taz says in Torah 27, it's ein safek motzi midei vadai. You're not sure they're going to make a bracha. You are sure you're being mekayem mitzvah tzedakah. So then you can give them the tzedakah, and it's a safek whether or not they're going to make a bracha. So most of the poskim say you can't do it unless it's a safek. Nevertheless, the Biur Halacha, including the Bach, says that maybe we should distinguish between when you know they're not going to make a bracha because they just don't feel like it. I don't do brachos. In such a case, you should be machmir, versus in a case where they don't make a bracha because it's an ones or they're in a rush or whatever, you know, it's not that they're doing it, you know, bahaches. Okay. So different shitos regarding whether or not you can feed someone when they know they're not going to make a bracha. However, it's interesting. No one says Darchei Shalom. No one quotes the Mishnah in Ginnin. It seems like it's all predicated upon the positive mitzvah of tzedakah. If it's not a mitzvah of tzedakah, simply because I don't want it to be awkward, does not come into play here. Until we get to source number 29 and the Minchas Shlomo. It's a famous Minchas Shlomo. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside now. The Minchas Shlomo essentially argues you need to play the long game. Somebody, you invite someone into your house, and if you tell them, you know, you can't eat unless you make a bracha, that's not going to go over so well. That's patronizing. It's insulting. Don't do that. Instead, he says, or, you know, you might not want to do that. Instead, he says, think about it. You have to think about what ultimately will have the cause the greatest positive gain for this person's relationship with God. If by allowing them now to eat in your house without a bracha, you're bringing them closer, and if you don't do that, you're going to end up distancing them from God and they're not going to like religion. So then play the long game and you make the calculation of it's not with me either. Why is it not with me either? I'm doing this to save them from bigger Yisurim. It can't be with me either if your point of your doing the activity is to prevent larger Yisurim in the future. And if you look at the boulder, he says it's like someone who cuts off somebody's toe from their foot in order to save the whole entire the whole entire hand or foot, right? You're doing a little thing. You know, it's almost like Chal Shabbos Achatz Kedeshiyus Mar Shabbos Harbe. That's his Sfarah. And therefore, he says, you know, you're allowed to give somebody something in such a situation, essentially, Mimdei Darchei Shalom, to prevent bigger Yisurim. That's a Micha Shalom Shita, which is essentially an application of our Sugya. I think it's noteworthy, number one, not no one else, as far as I know, and Torah Shlomo Zalman quoted this in terms in this context, you know, number two, the Chazon Ish disagreed, right? The Chazon Ish gave a similar argument about, you know, thinking about what will ultimately save this person from Yisurim. But when did he say you make that Chesbon? If it's a suffix, if you're not sure, if you know they're going to commit the Yisur, Chazal saying you can't rely on Darkei Shalom. So this might relate to Rav Rimon's argument, source number 30. I had the same idea, which is that what is our perspective of the either? What are we worried about? This whole argument assumes what you're worried about is the other person's spirituality, their relationship with God. I can't cause them to do an Isser. There's another element here, which is I, for my own sake, can't participate in any Isserim. And that if it's a situation where I am creating the possibility for them to sin, then I have a portion of their sin. It's a much harder argument. He makes the point here. If we're saying that when you give someone food and they eat it without a bracha, that it's as if you ate food without a bracha, how can you be matur that? Because in the long run, it will help them. What about you? So it's not just a simple heter, but I think, you know, from what I understand, most do paskin like Rishon Zalman. And I think that this is an important way of thinking generally. But please do ask your rabbi. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. I could rush through the end here, but I haven't stopped for questions in a while. We good? Ish? No, we're going pretty quickly. Good-ish. Okay, so let's just briefly, at least begin the next part, and maybe I'll do a recording in case we want to finish it. So the second part of our Mishnah deals with another issue. And it's a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that I actually had. So I'm walking a few weeks ago on the second day of Yom Tov in a certain place, and we see someone in their front lawn, and they're weeding, and they're mowing, and they're watering, and they're doing all sorts of gardening. So I said, hello, how are you? You know? And the response I get is, Chag Sameach. Right. So I was like, oh, okay. Nice. So the question is, what can you do in that situation? Because of the Ne'iver and Darkei Shalom, are you allowed to say Shabbat Shalom or Chag Sameach or to get Shabbos to someone who is in the midst, currently doing an Avera and violating Shabbos? Can you even potentially say, like, Hatzlacha or, you know, Yashar Koach or good job? So this relates to the second half of our Mishnah, which we referenced before, but it's also referenced in Dalet Gimel. Let's at least begin the Yerushalmi, and maybe I'll do a recording afterward. So the Mishnah says at the very end there, if you look in the first line, Machazikim Yidei Akum Mishvias Avalo Yidei Yisrael, you are allowed to strengthen a non-Jew or support a non-Jew during Shemitah, but not a Jew. So that's one. You can't support a Jew or during Shemitah. You can be Machazik and Akum, B'Shoalim, B'Shloman, and you can B'Shol, B'Shalom, greet them or ask for their peace. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. You can do that because of Darkei Shalom. So the question is, what does Machazikin mean? What does Shalom B'Shloman mean? And who are we talking about? So very briefly, we'll read the Yerushalmi. And maybe I'll finish the end of the recording. Says Yerushalmi, "Man za amar charesh b'tavos." Okay, excuse me. Gemara, "Rechi Rabbi Emi, chad amar charesh b'tavos, va'anan la'losiv la'mar minah b'asher shmitza, v'chare amar ayasher." What does it mean, machazikin? Opinion number one: you go over to the non-Jew, you say, "Charesh b'tavos, plow away, do a good job plowing." Va'anan la'siv la'minah b'asher shmitza, and after shmita, I'm gonna give you. It's gonna pay off. Right? So this gets into a huge discussion about whether there's such a thing as an amira l'nachri during Shemitah. Can you tell a nachri to do malach for you during Shemitah? On the one hand, you're encouraging them here, but not telling them explicitly. But that's the first opinion. You tell them, plow away and I'll pay you back. B'charna amar ayasher. What does machazikin mean? You don't tell them to plow. You say, yashakayach, or, you know, good job. Be strengthened. That's you say the non-Jew during Shemitah. Ma'ad amar charash b'tabos. The opinion that says what you're doing is you tell them that they should plow well. I'll pay you back afterward. Then what does sholem bishloman mean? If you can even tell them to plow, so what does it mean when we say you can ask for their peace? Ayasher. It means you tell them, good job, good job. Okay, two forms of verbally supporting the non-Jew. Man amar ayasher mahu sholem bishloman. What about the opinion who says that machazikin means to give them a shakayach? What does sholem b'shalom mean? B'shalom Yisrael, shalom aleichem. It means you give, in at least according to Moshe Farshim, it's talking about a Jew who you say shalom aleichem to. Meaning essentially, what you're allowed to do is to say to a Jew who is chasher al shvius. You did nefesh says in Thurston or 33, according to second opinion, shalom aleichem. Shalom aleichem. You don't say machazik and you don't say yashar koach for breaking Shemitah, yashar koach on your planning. You certainly don't say, you know, do a good job plowing. You would say shalom aleichem. And that's mipnei darkei shalom. Okay. So I'll have to finish the recording.
Sammy, you use the beginning of Shir next week. Why are you cheating the topic? It's a good topic.
Okay, anyway, so we saw very briefly, a summary. We saw the discussion of Litnei Mesaleya, three different shitos about when you could be Matir Mesaleya, the Iver, Midnei, Darkei, Shalom, how much of a Tzliya do you need? We saw a number of ramifications of this, and we saw the argument that generally, maybe we can take the long game and try to determine whether or not my participation will ultimately bring them closer to God. But it's a questionable argument, and you know, I would, before making any practical decisions, please do consult your local Orthodox rabbi And I believe Vera Turchina, after we'll finish this next part last week, will continue with Svidas Ksufin.
Right. As I sent out in the email the other day, God willing, we have 3 weeks left, or it'll be two and change. We'll spend time on Shemitas Ksafim, possibly even getting to Prosbul. And I'll send out my Armakomas, I hope, later today. Just